For this morning, we are very, very grateful. Thank you so much for the privilege to be gathered here. For unto the Lord indeed shall the guardian of the people be. My Father, as we go into your word, I strip myself, Lord, of every confidence I might yet have in my own knowledge or ability to share your word, or even my past experience in sharing. I place all of my confidence in your message, Father, the grace of the Lord Jesus, and the help of Holy Spirit, as I dock under community, that cause your word to go out of me in power, in clarity, in simplicity, in the comfort and love of the Holy Spirit. Do an internal work that and life, causing our wills to become more humble, and minds further enlightened by revelation knowledge of the word that goes forth, and our emotions further controlled by the power of the fruit of the Spirit. As a good word goes forth, let it break jokes in our life. Let it cause needs in life to men, causing glory to go to the name of Jesus Christ, and blessings unto all the sons of men. I ask you for grace to redeem time. Help me to bring out the treasure of the world, things both new and old, as the scribe instructed unto the kingdom. I duck under your grace, Lord Jesus. I receive your help and your mercy to be a faithful steward. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We've been in this book of Timothy now. We were talking about the majesty of God. So let's just do a brief recap before we move to what God has for us today. 1 Timothy chapter 6, we read from verses 13 to 16 to get an understanding before we proceed into verse 17 today. We'll be starting from verse 17, but let's do a brief recap of what we were talking about last time. 1 Timothy chapter 6, we read from verse 13. We see here that this is where Paul was giving a charge to Timothy, and by extension to all those that were under him, and also to us in this present, to every Christian. He said, I give the charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth what? All things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. Next verse. Verse 14. That thou keep what this commandment without spot, unrebukable unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Next verse. Thank you. Which in his times shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Next verse. Let's read together. Who wholly hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. So we see here that Paul, when he gave Timothy this charge, by extension to every member of body of Christ, because the same commandment applies to everybody, not only to Timothy, he said, I'm giving you charge in sight of God and the Lord, but also includes the Holy Spirit. That is, he wanted Timothy, and for us to know, the person who gave him that instruction for the church, so he can know who this person is, and then trust in him, like Pastor has said, in the certainty, in the security of his mercy, and the certainty of his judgment, if we disobey. It's very important for us to know that. But the aspect that we were saying, say, Timothy, I'm giving you charge in sight of God. That is, not as if they saw God physically in that service, but was telling him, because it was a letter that he wrote to Timothy. But look, what I'm writing to you, this commandment, this charge, a charge is a command, you know, with authority, that I'm giving you in the sight of God. That God is bearing me witness. That is, Lord Jesus Christ is there. The Holy Spirit is there. In the Bible says, when we gather, he said, we are gathered unto Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to our innumerable company of angels, you know, to the church of the firstborn, to God, the judge of all, and the spirit of just men made perfect. Then he said something. He said, take heed. He said, for he does. He said, when he first spoke from the earth, he said, you're talking about Mount Sinai. He said, now take heed that you obey what he says. For he said, well, yet once in a while, I will speak. He will speak from heaven. He said, we will shake all things, both in the heavens and in the earth. So it's in that context that Paul was talking to Timothy, and by extension to us. And the commandments, I said, keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable unto the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we spoke extensively about that last time. That is, you are using blood, word, and the spirit to perfect love of God. That's the summary of the commandment. That is, and you do it until he appears. You can't stop. And the appearing we are talking about is the first of all, appear in us before he appears for us, and then he will come with us, you know, for the millennial reign. So the appearing we are talking about, like you talked about it last time, is the appearing in us. So he said we must keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you can only do that with the blood of Jesus Christ, you need to go to perfect love of God. Praise the Lord. So, and he also said in verse 16, he now begins to describe God. Now he's going to talk about the form of God. Are you following me? Not the form of man when Jesus Christ became a man. He now began to describe him. And we spoke about that. We don't have to turn there. I read from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 12 downwards, when it's talking about God. I put some things down in my note the other time that I didn't mention. I just want to mention it. You know, he said that, who hath immortality? He said, who hath immortality? That means he's not subject to death. I'm putting it in a funny way. Don't God permit me. When God says, as long as I live, he cannot die. It's not possible. So when he says, as long as I live, it's not, he's just saying, are you following me? Forever. I mean, he said, that is not subject to death. He said, he dwells in light. Say, God dwells in light. In him no man can approach unto, whom no man seen, nor can see. You see, when we say we see God, or God takes them to the throne, he's torn down the intensity of light. We're going to see. You can't see God in the form of God. Number one, it's too big for your mind to comprehend. Number two, if you dare see him, I don't know how to describe what will happen to you. Your eye, your retina, everything will just go into nothingness. Be yourself. So you can't see. Number one, it's too big. And this is the great. He said he dwells in blinding light. He said that no man can what? Approach unto. Whom no man can see. I thought people have seen God before. Yes. But not physicalized. And they've seen a miniaturized form of God. Are you following me? But to see God in his form, in his fullness, is not possible. Praise the Lord. The Bible says in Psalm 104, verse 2, it says that God covereth himself with what? Light, as with the garments. The light he's talking about here, he's not talking about the light of his son. He's talking about the light of the glory of God. The light that made Saul fall from his horse on the way to Damascus. He didn't talk to him more. He just showed him a snippet of that light. The guy fell down and he was blind for 3 days. Let's see. You're looking at him like, look, let's look at, help me, Holy Spirit. In the book of Acts chapter 26, verse 13. When Paul was telling, I think it was Agrippa, what happened to him on the way. He said, and it came to pass that as I made my journey, okay, at midday. Okay, let's read from verse 13. At midday is when the sun is shining brightest. So there is a light. The light he's talking about is stronger, far stronger than the light of the sun. Scientists tell us that the light of the sun is about 15 million degrees Celsius. It came out of God. God spoke it into being and sustains it as just one. There are billions of stars and much bigger than that. That came out of God Almighty. He said, no man can approach him. So take this back to what I said. That is the charge I'm giving you is being backed by this God that created the sun that is over 15 million degrees Celsius. So he has the ability to do what he has said he would do. And if you disobey, may God have mercy on you. Will not disobey in Jesus' name. So we need to have this healthy fear of God. Reverential fear of God. What about sister? In Toronto, Shela and Beru. When you know who sent you, when you have this background at the back of your mind, like Pastor was sharing with us the other day, he said that don't be afraid of him that can kill the physical body. Be afraid of only one person that can kill the body and the spirit and send the person to hell. And nobody can appeal or beg. But see, God is a good God. He is not willing that any should perish. But we need to have the information at the back of our mind. So when doubt begins, concern begins to brag, you cannot look where a created being. Praise the Lord. So Acts 26 verse 13 says, a light from where? Heaven. Above the brightness of the sun. Shining around me. And then which journeyed with me. Next verse. Only the light, Lordy. And when we were all falling to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecuted me? It was only the light he saw that trimmed and everybody down. They had not spoken at all. The force of that light that is stronger than the light of the sun. How many can go out and look into the sun today? You can't. You can't. In spite of the distance, you can't. That light came out of God Almighty. Only one. There are billions of stars in the galaxy. Let's move on. I said, is this light? You see, so when you now connect what he said, after I gave that charge, it's in light of this awesome God that Paul now gives the next charge. When he said, I give thee charge in the sight of God. I follow me. Then now gives another second charge. Where we're going to start from today. Let's move to verse 17 of 1 Timothy chapter 6. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So, charge them. So, you have at the back of your mind that the person that is giving the charge or backing it is God Almighty. Say, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not what? High-minded. Nor trust in what? Uncertain riches. Let's do it together. Nor trust in what? Uncertain riches. But in the living God, who does what? Giveth us. Let's do it together. Giveth us richly some things, a few things, all things. Say all things. To enjoy. God wants us to enjoy. Say, God wants me to enjoy. You see, Master said something. He said, if you've been evil, you know how to give good things to your children. How much more shall my elder give good things to them that ask him? God wants his people to enjoy. We need to have that at the back of our mind. God wants us to be rich. Next verse. That they do good and they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. Next verse. Laying up in store. Let's read together, please. Laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come. That they may what? Lay hold on eternal life. Let's go back to verse 17, trusting that God will help us. So he began to give him charge again with the background of the God that sent him, the awesome God. So he says, he began to talk. Basically, what Paul was telling them was, I said, look, he started to tell them the pitfalls that come with prosperity. We need to be aware. You see, it's not, Satan can give prosperity. God also gives prosperity. Even he desires to give it to us more than Satan can ever desire. That's why he made everything in the Garden of Eden. For Adam, there was the last thing that he made. And then he put Adam there for Adam to enjoy. That is God's desire for his children. So before we move into, I start talking about the pitfalls and the dangers, because that's what Paul was talking about here, when he was giving them that charge. We need to, first of all, establish in our hearts that God wants us to be rich. So I'll read a few scriptures. It is our redemptive right to be rich. God is not happy when we are not rich. Yes. You are limited when you are poor. Or when only your needs are met. In fact, you'll be selfish. Some money comes in your hand now. Or contribute for social, you cannot, because you have fees to pay and all this to pay. So you are only, you know, it's like a circle just goes around yourself, your wife, your family, and all that. God will deliver us from poverty in Jesus' name. So what are we saying? Let's establish this fact. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. Put it there. Say, for you know the grace. Say, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though even he was rich, yet for your sakes was he made poor, that you through his poverty might be made what? Rich. Just read this on the board. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8 says, God is able to make all grace to abound toward you, causing you to have all sufficiency in all things, and to abound unto every good work. Every good work. For the matter of two or three, let every word be established. I give you another scripture, Job chapter 6, verse 11. God wants us to be rich. Let's say, God wants us to be rich. You see, I'm getting an idea myself. You know, recently, you know, some about this month, yeah. You know, when we're told to contribute and all that. And God brought a scripture to my mind. You know, he said, you know, Paul said something. He said, we stretch not ourselves beyond measure. You know that scripture? He wasn't talking about prosperity, he was talking about his ministry, but he applies. So God said, he told me, whispered to me, he said, even though you don't stretch yourself beyond measure, but you must stretch yourself. The issue is that it must not be beyond measure. See, because if you don't stretch yourself, you're not moving up. You're looking at me. He said, you see, if you don't stretch yourself, there's a measure. But just make sure it's not beyond measure. But it's a stretching. That's what will take you to the next level. So God told me, he said, he quoted that scripture to me, where Paul said, because it can be a strong goal. Let me just manage you. This is my salary. I can't go beyond this. Oh, yes. Some point. you just remain on that level. So it's not saying that you don't stretch yourself. You must stretch yourself, but not beyond measure. We see how you stay within the limits of your measure. Job chapter 6, verse 11. Thank you, Holy Spirit. It says, if they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in what? Prosperity, and their years in pleasures. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 and 2. Unless you don't want to obey God. If you choose to obey God and keep his commandments, you are going to be rich. That is why Paul laid the foundation with the first charge. That you keep his commandment without spot or unrebukable until he's appearing. Are you following me? So, based on that premise, it is what is going to make you rich. And I said, charge them that are rich in this world. Are you following me? And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, thy Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. Next verse. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. So how many people want to hearken unto God's voice today? Not to hearken will be rebellion. Yes, so. Who wants to obey God? Yeah, nobody. So as long as you obey God, he said these blessings will come upon you and they will overtake you. So I want to establish that stronghold that God desires that will be rich. Very important. And we have examples like Abraham. Genesis chapter 12, verse 2 in Amplified. Genesis chapter 12, verse 2 in Amplified. Genesis 2, 12, 2 in Amplified. In Amplified Bible. It says, and I will talk to you about, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you abundantly. And make your name great, exalted, distinguished. And you shall be a blessing, a source of great good to others. We are the seed of Abraham in Christ Jesus. This is our inheritance. Same thing with Paul. Paul was rich. But although he was writing about the snares that come with riches, he was rich. How come? If Jack put it in Message Bible, I just mentioned it. You know, Acts chapter 24, verse 26. When Felix put him in prison, Paul said that he desired Paul to give him money, to bribe him, so he can let him go. If it's just a regular guy by the road, an Okada driver, what do you expect him to have? In Message Bible, says, at the same time, he was secretly hoping that Paul would offer him a substantial bribe. So why will he expect Paul to offer him a substantial? Why so honor the Lord with your substance, Sabi? It's not small money, not chicken change, so I can free him. So Paul too was rich. So we need to break that stronghold of this poverty mentality. Are you following me? It's very important. Joseph is an example also, but we don't have to go there. He was rich. But why will Paul begin to talk about this under the Holy Spirit and give this warning, this charge, this commandment? Because he understood that the source of trust can shift once money and wealth enters. You see, we need to know. You can give somebody a car, but there have instructions when you are driving, use your seat belt. When you put your corner, slow down. A warning is not a cause. So I can enjoy all things richly. Simple. So you know that, you understand that this trust can shift when money comes. And once trust shifts, what happens? The next thing is that we begin to forget God. Hosea 13, verse 6 in NIV. You see, Paul understood that once you are wealthy and you don't keep the commandments diligently without spot, the trust of your heart can shift. You don't say it cannot. Neither will I advise you to wait till that time. See, God is not only talking to rich people in the church today. He's talking to everybody. Because everybody, we are potentially rich. Christ has paid for it. So it applies to us. Praise the Lord. What does he say in NIV? He says, when I fed them, they were satisfied. When they were satisfied, they became proud. Then they forgot me. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. That is why God has taken the time to teach the end time church in this house the principles of perfecting the love of God. Year in, year out, we've been told to pray. Bind the devil. Watch and pray always. Over and over and over and over and over. Why? Because this is the foundation. So don't do what Solomon did. So don't do what Uzziah did, where they waxed rich. They forgot God. That would not be a posture. That's why Psalm 62 verse 10 says, if riches increase, set not your heart upon them. That means the issue is the heart. Oh. It's not so much as coming to church. You can still be in church and be as proud as a peacock, like they say. So the issue is the heart. Say, don't set your heart upon riches. How does it apply to us? It's very important. When I was praying, because why? Bible says, greater than Solomon is here. Christ in you, the hope of glory. God wants to release a deluge of financial wealth. Not just money, wisdom to make wealth. You know, riches in righteousness that Pastor preached some years ago. How about in Deuteronomy chapter 8, in verse 1, he was telling them, he said that when you enter into that land, he began to tell them, said, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. Okay, fine. For it is he that giveth thee the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which is swear unto thy fathers, as it is this day. You see, he was saying this in, when they were about to enter into the promised land. Put it in verse 9. For the tendency is there for the heart to shift. A land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, and thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. Put it in verse 10. Say, when thou art sitting and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good of the land which he hath given thee. 11. Beware, he began to warn them. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God. In not keeping, how do you forget? In not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command you this day. Holy Spirit, help me. 12. Okay, that's 12. Okay. Lest when thou hast eaten and hast food and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein. Next verse. And when thy heads are and thy flocks multiply and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied and all that thou hast has multiplied, thy God begins to multiply them. Verse 17. 17, because of time. 17. 14, okay. Then thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, when he got born again, from a house of bondage. Next verse. And thou say in thy heart, my power and my might, the might of my hand, has gotten me this wealth. If it is not possible, God will not be telling us. Don't say it is Old Testament. All scripture. It's Bible, Holy Spirit. Verse 18. How do you know? How do you forget God? It's not when you don't come to church, when you don't keep the commandments, when you forget to pray. You are beginning to forget. It's not when you say, I'm not doing this again. No! Go and ask from David. When he entered rest, everything was okay. But God gave him rest on all sides. Then he forgot to go to battle. You know, he doesn't start. I'm sure it must have been, first of all, late. They say, oh God, David, let's go and fight today. Say, I'm coming. By and by, he got to a stage whereby he decided not to go at all. So it's when you forget God. You forget God when you forget to keep his commandments. I'm not about making mistakes. When it becomes consistent, you don't pray in the morning. You don't pray as you ought to. You know, you that before, when you got born again, well, you are up 3 a.m., you are praying and frying nonstop. You didn't care what you wore to church. It now becomes an issue for you to come to church because there is no car to take you. It now becomes an issue before you to come to church. These are the things I sat down and began to tell myself. Begin to call myself to order. You have not seen anything. You are beginning to play around these things. I pulled my own ear and said, be careful. Now becomes an issue for you to come to church because the car, you don't have a car. You that you are not. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is not ashamed to call you brethren. Whether you are rich or you are poor. Then you begin to think, I'm not going to church today. Why? Because I don't have something to wear. They will look at me. Who is looking at you? God is the one you care about. I have to call myself to order. Anyway, let's keep talking. That's how we forget God. We will not forget God in Jesus' name. And this problem started from Satan. Ezekiel chapter 28 verse 16. Purpose the multitude of merchandise. Because of his trafficking. Are you following me? That's what led in. I already mentioned Solomon and Uzziah. So let's now look at these pitfalls that Paul was talking about. Put it back in verse 18. He said that God wants us to, first of all, he said God wants to give us all things rich to enjoy. We said establish that. See, he now says, yes, verse 17. That they could say that now began to tell them the purpose for riches. The first thing he said is that is relax. God will give you all things weekly to enjoy. So don't be afraid that even if you are a missionary, you will not have enough. No. So God wants you to enjoy all things richly, but not to indulge in it at the expense of your soul. So now after he established and told them that, now said, after you have enjoyed, like he said in Deuteronomy chapter 8, and everything is okay, you have your house, you have your car, you have your vineyards, and everything is being multiplied at a rate that you cannot catch up with. Said, remember, that is God that gave this. You remember those four lepers? You know what happened? When the prophetic word went ahead of them, and God was going to, you know, they entered the camp of sinners, they packed and packed and packed. They went to go and hide it. They packed and packed and packed and go and hide it. Then I said, bro, look, if we do this thing the third time or the fourth time, mystery will come upon us. Then they went back and, why? Because there are a lot of people there in Samaria, a type of a church that are under siege to financial bondage. So they went back. That's what God is saying. So he said that, okay, are we there? That they do good. Let's say they do good. I've been rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. We began to talk about the reason for prosperity. So it can be clear before. You see, you need to have the roadmap. You need to have the plan before it comes. It's not when it comes that you start asking God. No, you need to have that plan. Praise the Lord. So he said that, number one thing, he said that they should not be high-minded. Say high-minded. Arrogant or proud. He was talking in respect of how rich people can begin to look down on poor brethren in the church. Both among the laity and the clergy. As James said, he said, if a rich man comes to your place, don't tell him to sit down here. And tell the poor man to go and sit at the back. Always remember the scripture. Jesus Christ is not ashamed to call you brethren. Are we there? So, arrogance means high-minded. Psalm 73 verse 6. Talking about the rich. Psalm 73 verse 6. 73 verse 6. 73 verse 6. Therefore, pride, talking about rich, wicked that are rich. It's not only unbelievers. Christians can be wicked. We already know that. Psalm 50. Therefore, pride compass them about as a chain. That's why they are bondages. Violence covers them as a garment. Next verse. Verse 7. Their eyes. Why are you talking like this morning? Are your eyes standing out? Their eyes stand out with fatness. And they have no more art. They have more than art could wish. See, pride compasses them about like a chain. That is the same word that God gave them. Now bring them into bondage. That is not God's desire. They allowed it. Are you following me? But I say every good and perfect gift comes from Father's lives. In there is no brevity, shadow of turning. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 23. So when you begin to see these things manifest in any measure, begin to deal with it. The poor use that entreaties, but the rich answer it roughly. There's basically talk loftily.
In fact,
there's a guy that used to preach in Nigeria in those days. That's how he used to talk. He said, let me just leave him alone. roughly, not a rich man. The way a rich man is going to talk is how a poor man will talk. Like Pastor was sharing, the policeman stops you on the way. The way you will talk to him because you are rich. What nonsense. Before he says anything, you have picked up the phone. Excuse me. So. You are calling maybe your guy in LA. Please come and deal with this guy. What nonsense. Don't know I'm a man of God or a saint that is rich. He said they speak roughly. So we need to watch for those things. We start talking to people anyhow. You that before, you say, John, help me. Begin to watch those things. Why is God telling all these things? So I can overcome the pitfalls. Not that we should be rich. And I also say that not trust in the uncertain riches. That the riches are not dependable. You can't rely on riches. Physical riches, material wealth. Anything can happen. I think there's a flood in Oklahoma today or some time ago, a few days ago. All those things, if you put your confidence or you put your trust in them, they can vanish in one night. Overnight! Go and ask from Job. He was a Christian in the Old Testament. Even though God restored. Proverbs 23, verse 5. Said, riches have wings, and they fly away to heaven. So we had better set your affections in the heavenly places. So as long as you stay there, the heaven will come and meet you there. But if you leave that place, you come on the earth. One day we'll just come out from your bank account and begin to fly like this. Begin to fly. Fiam, fiam, fiam. Put it amplified. Yeah, the Bible says we are seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, potentially. That's where we have to go and sit there, where everything becomes your own. They'll come and meet you there. But if you leave the place, I become an outbound Christian. So when you set your eyes, on wealth, it is what? Suddenly gone. For wealth certainly makes itself wings. Oh, my will, yeah. Like an eagle that flies to the heavens. You have to go to the heavens. So when it's in the heavens, you are there. You're just waiting. Because God multiplying the thing. Praise the Lord. So you see, what are we saying? He said, we'll fly toward heaven. Very important. That was the problem of the rich young ruler. Mark chapter 10, verse 22. You see, if you read that story, God did not, when Jesus Christ was, he said, he loved him. He said, he had many riches. He said, when you start having a problem, when the thought of losing or giving out what God has given you makes you sorrowful, then there's a problem. That shows your heart is not in God. You don't trust God. You should be like our father Abraham. After God has given everything, the most important thing that God gave him at that time was Isaac. Because he was supposed to inherit everything. God said, take Isaac now to a place where you don't know, and I will sacrifice. And immediately he obeyed. To show that his heart was not in the riches, his heart was not in Isaac. But his trust was in God. Are you following me? What scripture did I quote now? Okay. Mark 10, verse 22. Let's read. This guy mortgaged his destiny. What God had called him to do because of the wealth. How many people in the body of Christ today, God has spoken to them in their hearts, whispered, leave this stuff. I want you to go and start this stuff. Begin to do so. The best example I can give is our parents, our pastor and mommy. And they left, pastor left Imperial College to come and be working with Brother Emiko with all he had. We've seen the testimony how God has restored everything back. That was the same thing that God was offering this guy. Let me read now. So, and he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. That is, anytime God calls you to do something and you begin to say, God, if I do this thing, if I go and walk here, this is the woman that might pay me. Then you begin to watch for it. You begin to grieve you. You begin sorrowful. But you see, you now it's really discourse. The master said something. Then Paul, Peter, he said, but master, he said, this is hard for. Let's keep reading. Please put it back there. Someone wants to see. Verse 23 says, and Jesus looked round about and said unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? His verse. And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom? That is the test for that man, was whether I trusted in God or in his riches. He failed. Now, next verse. Next verse. Peter now asked the question. He said, if it is that difficult, then what about we guys? You know what I want you to see here today? Peter's motive, John and Andrew, for following Jesus was pure. Because not until this time, the master did never quoted that scripture of getting 100-fold in this lifetime. That was the first time he told them. That means they followed the master. He said, who shall we follow, seeing that you had the words of eternal life? So the master did not peddle or show them the reward in order to get them. He was here. It was after the man left. Then Peter thought, oh God, we have left all to follow you. In that quote, they said, no man. He didn't tell that man that. You see, when God calls you either into ministry, when God calls you to do something, he will not tell you. He expects obedience and trust. All these gods that first of all tell them what God will give them, it's of the enemy. He didn't tell them. They've been following and following and until this thing happened. Then it was after I said, you guys that have followed me, he said, you will receive so and so in this lifetime and life to come, eternal life. Praise the Lord. So it's important for us to see that. Praise the Lord. So he shortchanged himself. Why do we have to put our trust in God? Because God does not change. Say, I'm the Lord, I change not. God does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Are you following me? It doesn't change. But riches have wings. They can change. The stock market can change tomorrow. Are you following me? They can bring a decree and increase your tax. Something, anything can happen. I follow me. It's God that does not change. That's how your trust must be in that God that gave the world. The Bible says that some people worship the creature more than the creator. We must not do that. We must serve God. Even when there's nothing. Even when there's nothing, because what we are talking about, the word we are talking about, is not talking about needs being met here. We're talking about riches and righteousness. God will meet everybody's need. We're talking about riches, this wealth, this financial wealth. The glory that God, silver is mine, the gold. This is what we're talking about. It takes time for it to come. It doesn't come overnight. So people are not willing to wait. So we need to trust God. What does it mean to trust God? Very simple. We trust God with our heart. I say, where your treasure is, there will your heart be. So that means, why do we trust God with your heart? It's not that, okay, God, I give my heart. Yet, when you go born again, it's all we've been taught all these years. Your will must become more humble until you enter permanent humility. Your mind must be further enlightened by revelation, right? Until it's fully enlightened by the word of God. Having no part dark at all. And then your emotions fully controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. That is how you give God your heart. How did you get born again? We say, I gave my life to Christ. No, you gave him your spirit. And when you gave him, what happened? Eternal life entered your spirit. Now, he wants to give him your will, your mind, emotions, to feel occupied by the life of God. That's how we trust God. That is the key. Are you following me? Then the other thing I put here, I said that we must also make the fear of God and God himself our treasure. Isaiah 33 verse 6. Isaiah 33 verse 6 in Amplified. You begin to walk in the fear of God daily. Say, and it will. Let's look at that. And it will be the security and stability of your times. A treasure of salvation. Wisdom and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is your treasure. I said that. I said, when you make God your treasure, the purpose of God your treasure, that's where your treasure is, there will your heart be. So if you hear that they are praying in church, and you hear that you are supposed to sign a contract, I must say, don't sign a contract. Just give an example, please. Go and sign your contract. Are you following me? What I'm saying is that where does your heart go when you have choices to make in life? Hardcore decisions that have to do with your job, your marriage, your destiny. Why did you marry that sister or that brother? It's because of the wealth that he has. You had better don't marry neighbor. You had better don't marry neighbor. That's the rich fool of the Old Testament. So let's move on. So it gives us all things which you enjoy, not some. I've already mentioned that. And the second is that God wants, and then the third thing is that you must not, the things now begin to practice, you shall not multiply silver and gold to yourself greatly. Deuteronomy 17:17. It didn't say don't multiply. It said, but don't multiply to yourself greatly. Like somebody said the other day, he said, when a president went to somebody's guys in Lagos, he said, when he saw cars parked there, he said, are they selling cars here? When the president of a nation can visit a place and say that, are they selling cars here? Not to mention anybody's name. So he said, neither shall he multiply wives unto himself. No Christian will do that. That his heart not turned away. Neither shall he, what say, he say greatly. Greatly. Multiply to himself. Similar. So he didn't say don't multiply, but don't multiply it greatly. Are you following me? Don't multiply it exponentially. So what are we saying? So God wants us to be a channel of blessing to God's work, God's people, and the world around us. That is the reason for prosperity. The Bible says that God giveth, he said that, let him that stole steal no more. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 8. He said that he may walk with his hand so that he can give to those that don't have. That's why you are working. Then God begins, as you grow more and you prosper in your soul, God begins to enlarge your course. So iPhone begins to stretch you. When God begins to stretch people, at times they don't understand. Something will come up that you imagine that you can never do. Maybe your rent of your house is being paid for every year, year in, year out. Say, oh, stop! Don't pay for his rent again. God, the Bible says, an eagle. I don't know what saying, eagle, this time. He said, he flutters over his young ones. Then he will remove all the comforts. Then he will carry them and he will throw them up. He will leave them. begin to cry, help, help, help. Then we'll catch them again. Many times, the disappointments that come to us in life is God's trying to help us to stretch ourselves because we have remained too long in our comfort zone. Learn to use those disappointments as a stepping stone. I'll read the scripture that God gave when I was coming to church this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7. Let me just move on. Said they should do good, rich in good work, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. That is the essence of your prosperity. After you've enjoyed all things richly. So let's look at the first one. It says that we should do good and be rich in good works. So as Bible in Ephesians 2:10 says, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto what? Good works. Really fancy good works at this part. Good works at three levels, but I will focus on one. Physical acts of charity and kindness. This is the foundation. Even unbelievers do it. But God wants us to excel. God wants us to excel. Why? Because this is what will attract unbelievers to the church. If you tell an unbeliever, in just a man have life, you don't visualize the flow of life. Visualize what? Let's get serious. It is that will you understand it, but they don't. So when they see your acts of kindness, I remember just coming from the front. You know when the road to Akbete was so bad, everybody was complaining. Then God, through the help of Bradiji, mommy through the help of Bradiji, rather, they did that road. I entered the bus to come to church or somewhere, and everybody said, God bless my life for too. That is what the government could not do. A Christian took it upon himself. That is what God wants us to do. You can take that, extrapolate it into many things, different areas of life. And when they look for people, they should not be calling unbelievers. It should be Christians. If you understand what I'm saying. That is, you are so rich, you are bound unto every good work. Every good work. There's a problem here, you solve it. It should not be Bill Gates coming to Nigeria. It's going to change very soon. When the Zion Church arises, higher than what God will do. Yes. Yes, they should come and call us. The same way they are calling ministers of God to come and minister out there because they believe we have the word. They should be calling us also. Please, we need help. Please, so and so is wrong somewhere. This Oklahoma, whatever. Please, we need to go and give to Trump. Then you humble him. Say, okay, I'll give you this. From Scripture, Pastor Chris Center. Say, Bible says they will come in chains. Can you imagine Trump and all these guys coming in chains? Not literal chains. You humble. Battles arise. That's what God wants to do. To remove that mentality. So, let me hurry along. So, we are supposed to do these physical works of charity because they will attract, unregenerate men to the church. Say, let your light so shine, among them and see your good works and glorify God. When they see those things, those acts of kindness you do, we say, we thank God for your life. We thank God for this. We thank God for that. We've seen that a lot of times in the house to the glory of God. Thank God for our fathers. And the other thing is this. Bible says that, this same promise, when you walk in the light of the same, what does it do? It also has eternal reward. Are you following me? We are created unto good works. It also has eternal reward. It's not just going to happen like that. No. God says, just Christ said, I will get there later. He said, I'm coming and my reward is me. God will reward all those things at the resurrection. We'll see as we continue. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Okay. So, let's look a bit in detail to doing good. We have mentioned how to be rich in good works. Say, ready to distribute. Romans 12:13. You must be ready. You must be ready. What does it say? Distributing what? To the necessity of the saints. Giving to what? Hospitality. It's not for anybody. It's for everybody. Those that are rich and those that believe that God has, they are rich in Christ Jesus, must be ready to distribute. They have a problem in one church there. The wind just blew off their roof. But in simplicity, you don't have to make noise. Just sign a check, pay for the roof, a better one, and then you move back. That's what God wants us to do. Distribute the necessity of the saints. And then we need to communicate. Galatians chapter 6, verse 6. Galatians 6, 6. That well is another word, willing to communicate. Say, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Doesn't mean you just talk to them. This communication not only applies to those in leadership. It applies to communicating to everybody in the body of Christ. But as you do good unto all men, especially of the household of faith. Say, the one who is taught in the word of God to share all good things with the teacher, contributing to the spiritual and material support. Next verse. Next verse. Next verse. Go back to King James if it's stuck. Say, be not deceived. Say, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Next verse. For he that sweareth to his flesh shall of his flesh reap corruption. And he that sweareth to the spirit shall of his spirit reap life everlasting. I thought he was doing something physical. By communicating, God says, whatever you sow, you will reap. That's what God was telling me. A record is being kept in heaven of what you give. Ah, Pastor, tell you, God doesn't care. Go and ask the woman that gave two mites. Go and ask when they were building the tabernacle in the Old Testament. What did Moses say? He said they recorded everything that the elders gave. It's going to be there for eternity. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. It's going to be there for eternity. When Solomon was, before Solomon became king, David, he gave. He listed what he gave. He said, in my poor poverty also, I have kept this for God. Why did God record it? Why did God record it? What Solomon gave, why did God record it? God takes. Now, it is relative to what you have. So go and stretch yourself beyond measure. But you must stretch yourself. That is what I want you to do. Don't stretch yourself beyond measure. Neither will you compare yourself. Those that compare themselves with others with themselves are not wise. So be wise. I'm not talking about stretching yourself beyond measure out of greed. Why did God record it? Why did God list what Solomon gave? I didn't want to give so and so drums of gold. So and so gave so and so and so and so. Why did God record it? Why did God take the time to record that Solomon built his temple for 7 years and he built the house for Pharaoh's daughter for 13 years? When it didn't matter. It mattered to God though. God looking at how Solomon was behaving. That thing is caused out for rebellion. If you don't know. Yes. But Solomon, you've rebelled against me. God records it though. Everything relative to what you have, please. Have that tobacco. That's the balance. But God records everything. No. That's why I said somewhere in Matthew, we'll get there later. He said, when you do your party, don't call the rich, call the poor. He said, they cannot pay you back. He said, but you'll be recompensed at the resurrection. Who told that God is not recording it? Okay. May God have mercy on us. So what are we saying? That God records those things. As we begin to round up. Verse 18, I believe. Let's move to verse 18. Verse 19. We've read it. It said, willing to communicate eternal life. Okay, verse 9 says, laying up in store for themselves. That is the rich that enjoy all things richly, the rich that distribute, that communicate. He said, they do what? They lay up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come that they may lay hold of the eternal life. What does that mean? As a roundup, I'll just give examples to because time has come. Say, a good foundation against the time to come. The time to come is at two levels, here on earth and also at the resurrection. Let's look at here on earth. Let's look at Dorcas. Acts chapter 9, verse 36. Who told you God does not care? It's because the way you give, the attitude of your giving shows the attitude of your heart. So if God is finding it difficult for you, or you are struggling with giving your tithe of 100,000 naira, then you are believing God that he will give you 100 million one day. Never! Can any of us do it? So why would God do it? Are we there? Say, now there was a Joppa, a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This man was full of what? Say, good works. But say, be rich in good works. And alms deeds, which she did. Next verse. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died. And whom, when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. Next verse. And for as much as he that was now unto Joppa, and disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Next verse. Oh no, let's just go to verse 41. Verse 41, it's important. And he gave, oh, take the verse 41, 44, let's say 40. Let's see 39. And Peter arose and went with them. And when he was come, they brought him unto the upper chamber. And all the widows stood by him, weeping and showing the coats and the garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. A premise for the life to come. It was people that began to testify. Next verse. We know the story. Peter raised her from the dead. She was a disciple. She had been learning stuff for herself against the time to come. She has supported the work of God. Widows, orphans, poor. Nobody knows. The Bible doesn't say why she died. But mercy spoke on her behalf. Same thing with Cornelius. Acts chapter 10, verse 2. Pastor, his arm deeds say they have come to God for a memorial. If he wasn't born again, you say he's not born again. If the arm deeds of an unbeliever will come to God, what about the arm deeds of his own children? Understand it. There was a devout man, one that feared God, and he gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. All that could not save him, but will come as a memorial before God. Verse 4. Over and over, I kept saying, and he saw in the vision, verse 4, and when he looked on him, that was the angel, was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? Talking to the angel. And he said unto him, thy prayers and thy arms are come unto God for all a memorial before God. Next verse, 30. Let's go to 31. They kept on repeating it. His arms have come up before God as a memorial. What am I saying? God looks at what we give. Let me qualify relative to what we have. It's important to have that at the back of mind. So you go and carry something and stretch yourself beyond measure. Are you following me? Luke chapter. I said, as a life, and in life to come, life everlasting. Let's look at Luke chapter 14, verse 13. I already quoted it as we begin to round up. Luke chapter 14, verse 13. It says, but when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind. Please, this does not mean that you should not invite me to your party, please. Because I'm not lame, I'm not blind. When I take this scripture, I say, don't invite Pastor Dio here. Yeah, but I said that joking because everybody's looking so serious. I cannot say to my, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee. For thou shalt be recompensed at where? Who told you it doesn't matter? So what are we saying in summary? These good works will also determine part of our eternal reward in heaven. This is because it shows the way you handle God's offering. We somebody said this. I need to check it. We said in the body of Christ, we are not supposed to take up offering. That is the spirit of Ophni and Phinehas. They took offering. We worship God with our offering. Don't take offering. That's just like by force. People come with what they have, and you come to worship God with your tithes and your offering. How do you do these things? By giving your tithes and your offering, and then begin to stretch yourself to every good work. They announce that something is supposed to be done. You keep on. Notice that when they were building that tabernacle, they did not stop until Moses told them to stop. Everybody's looking at me. They did not stop until Moses said they should stop. They were so eager to give. I said, look, we don't need anything again. Let's stop. Everybody stop, stop, stop. We have enough. God, yeah, he will reward. Revelation chapter 22, verse 12. Then one more scripture. These works, but we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. That's the purpose of it. And thou shalt be blessed. Revelation 22, verse 12. I'm going to stop now. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. We have works at three levels. We are concentrating on the physical works of charity today. Like the works that we do, you know, with the spirit measure, and then the works that we will do by the grace of God when we have the spirit that measure. But God is going to record everything. God records everything, brethren. Nothing. So when you say, don't they that go forth weeping, bearing precious seed shall surely return with sheaves rejoicing. So you are sowing that seed in the measure that God allows you, not beyond measure. You are stretching yourself. He says that God, you are going to come back. See, you are going to come back with sheaves rejoicing. One last scripture that I asked the Lord. I said, what is the purpose of this message? Let's open to
2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7 in Amplified. So 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7 in Amplified. And then we'll pray. Mommy has said something. He said, this house has been known as a house of prayer. But it's time for it to know as a house of wealth and prosperity. What did Paul tell the Corinthian church in Amplified?
Let each one of you thoughtfully and with purpose as he has decided in his heart. Not what? Grudgingly or under compulsion. For God loves what? A cheerful giver and delights in the one whose heart is right.
I think it's 2 Corinthians 8, 7. Sorry. It's 8, 7. That's also a good scripture. But let's go to 2 Corinthians 8, 7 as we speak. He was telling the Corinthians. He said, you guys, you have so much revelation.
He said, but just as you excel in everything and lead the way in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in genuine concern, in your love for us. See that you do what you excel in this gracious work of giving also. My own Amplifier says that God wants you to come to the forefront. Let's stand up as we pray. I'll read it. Why is God bringing this message to us? Not because we don't know them. We have examples of our fathers who follow. Well, like I said, some days, weeks ago, God spoke to me. And I had this stronghold of this scripture say, you will not stretch yourself beyond measure. Yes, but I better stretch yourself. Because if you don't stretch yourself, you'll not go to the next level. If you don't stretch yourself, I repeat, you won't go to the next level. The same way you stretch yourself in your spiritual growth, also stretch yourself. You are praying only love prayers every morning and say, okay, after 6 months, increase, start praying 1 hour. Yes, the same thing. Because the more your soul prospers, the more God will add unto you. I just want to read that scripture as we close. It says in a very beautiful way, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, I like the way you put in this Amplified. I'm sorry to take your time. 8 verse 7 says, okay, the new one says, let's together. Now, as you abound and excel and are at the front of everything, in faith, in expressing yourselves, in knowledge, that's revelation knowledge, in all zeal, in your love for us, see, to it, that you come to the what? Front now, and abound and excel in this gracious work of almsgiving. Also, that's what God wants to do. He wants us to come to the forefront. We are known as Scripture Pastor Christian Center. When they hear outside that you are from Scripture Pastor, everybody begins to shake. It's a house of prayer. Don't mess with them. You understand the word. Not that we have not been blessed, we have been blessed. But God is saying to us, come to the forefront. Just as you are leading in other spheres, come to the forefront. Why? That your profiting might appear unto all men. Godliness is profitable unto all things. Having the promise of life that now is, and the life that is to come. Praise the Lord. So Father, we confess our sins. And so we clean with the blood from all unrighteousness, blocking our right standing with God. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, reminding me that it is your will for me to be rich and to enjoy all things richly, to do good, ready to distribute, and willing to communicate. I come to receive fresh mercy and grace under covering, to use your blood, the word and the spirit, to perfect your love in my life, so that I can overcome the snare that comes with riches and make me a blessing to establish your covenant upon the earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's now pray in tongues. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father, for your presence. Lord, just thank you for your grace. Holy Spirit, thank you for your love and help. In Jesus' name.